The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It's 8:30, and welcome to the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party, Season 4, Episode 12. It's Sunday, September 2nd, and tonight's shows may contain spoilers up through the last episode and any current AMC official promo materials. Welcome to Episode 12 of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4. The title is Week, W-E-A-K. After tonight, there will be four more episodes, and then Season 4 will wrap on Sunday, September 30th. We have confirmation from AMC via San Diego Comic-Con that The Walking Dead Season 9 will begin the following weekend, opening on October 7th. So we will be running straight through with no breaks until the winter holidays. Typically, we start the show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. And check the chat room real quick, and I'm alone for the moment, but not for long, I am certain. Call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314. Anytime, especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. If you call during the show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break or we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact. And we post the links for doing that on our Facebook page. And please remember, each episode has its own discrete link, so that link will only work for one episode. If you're unable to join us by 9 p.m. or anytime tonight, you can still go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. So episode 12 is called Week. The official AMC synopsis is June helps when Al's health deteriorates and Morgan searches for friends lost in the storm. Additional synopses, I only have one tonight, and it's an interesting one. So tonight's episode is directed by the actor for Victor Strand, which is Coleman Domingo. So this is an article from comicbook.com. Fear the Walking Dead star Coleman Domingo directs episode 412. This was written by Cameron Bolomono on August 27th. Fear the Walking Dead star Coleman Domingo makes his television directorial debut in Sunday's episode 412, Week. The episode pairs Althea, Maggie Grace, and June, Jenna Elfman, while Morgan, Lenny James, and newfound traveling companions Sarah, Mo Collins, Wendell, Daryl Mitchell, and Jim, Aaron Stanford, attempt to locate Morgan's missing friends, just as a mysterious and dangerous new threat, Tonya Pinkins, closes in. Domingo shadowed six-time Fear the Walking Dead Season 3 and Fear the Walking Dead Passage director Andrew Bernstein ahead of assuming the director's chair and was backed by longtime The Walking Dead director and new Season 4 director and co-executive producer Michael Satrazemis, who we've profiled on the show several times, who most recently helmed the hard-hitting 410 Close Your Eyes episode. Quote, I've been in directing in theater for over 25 years, so I was really sort of translating everything I knew from helming musicals and plays to television. It's just a slight adaptation of that, Domingo told Hidden Remote earlier this summer. Quote, I shadowed Andrew Bernstein at the end of last season. I was also in those episodes, so I was constantly learning while I was working, and that's the way I've learned anything of value in this business is by doing it. So the whole first half of the season, I was watching directors who I believed were extremely capable, and some directors who had some minor shortcomings, and I hope to learn from all. You sort of learn from that and then you apply everything. Domingo added that he had the support of every single person, including Satrazevis and executive producer Scott Gimple, and was truly blessed in making his first television-directed project. Quote, from my writer, Kalinda Vasquez, to the cast, everyone wanted me to succeed. So with that energy, all I had to do was to be a great facilitator of inspiration and hopefully good humor to make our days, he said. A lot of things were set up for me to do well. Everyone set me up to do well, especially my first assistant director and my director of photography. The Victor Strand actor shot Week with an eye turned towards, quote, very much spaghetti western. Teasing viewers will definitely see some iconic Sergio Leone shots Domingo used as inspiration. I think even as a playwright, I deal with some sort of magical realism and sort of fairy tale. This episode has a sort of fairy tale aspect to it, he said. I'm always looking for the beauty in the darkness, so I think that we have lush landscapes that will contradict all of the darkness people are in. Of Sunday's episode, Domingo told comicbook.com at Walker Stalker Con Nashville, he's very proud of the director's cut he submitted in May, and that new showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg were very happy. Domingo stepping behind the camera marks the first time a Walking Dead star directs an episode of the series. In July, comicbook.com learned the Walking Dead alum Michael Kudlitz, who played Abraham Ford, would become the second when he returns to the flagship as director on an upcoming Season 9 episode. The Coleman-Domingo-directed episode of Fear the Walking Dead Week airs Sunday. You know, that's tonight's episode. So that is the last for that article. Checking the chat room, and we are still alone for the moment, but let me see what else I have I can pull up for you guys in a little bit. There's some articles further down, but I like to go ahead and have this stuff queued in advance for you. So I've got another article for discussion. I'm going to go ahead and pull it up so that it's ready for you guys, and then we will come back to that in a hot minute. Let me see. Whoop. Pardon me while I switch my websites. All right, so that's queued up. And let's go back to the notes. So now we'll do the writers and directors profiles. And as I just mentioned, tonight's episode is directed by Coleman Domingo, who plays Victor Strand. And it was written by Kalinda Vasquez, K-A-L-I-N-D-A-V-A-Z-Q-U-E-Z, although in her IMDb it says sometimes the first Z is an S. So profiles, Coleman Domingo. Coleman Jason Domingo was born in Philadelphia and attended Temple University, where he majored in journalism. Soon thereafter, he moved to San Francisco, California, where he started acting mainly in theater productions. He has a prolific career so far in stage acting, musical theater, and dance. Just as a stage actor, he received 8 awards of various types from 1997 throughout 2017. He was additionally nominated for another 14 awards, starting in 2010 with his solo biographical show, A Boy and His Soul, presented off-Broadway at the Vineyard Theater. He also has multiple stagewriter credits. As a stage actor, he has over 50 credits from 1995 to 2014. As a film actor, he has over 30 credits between 1995 to 2018. Over 20 credits for television, including his role as Victor Strand in Fear the Walking Dead, since season 1. As a director, he has 12 credits for stage shows from 1998 to 2017, and a 13th for television with directing tonight's episode of Fear the Walking Dead, which is his first work for the franchise outside of his role as Strand. He was ordained a minister by the non-denominational Universal Life Church. On the July 9th, 2017 episode of Talking Dead, Coleman revealed that he had spent time as an aerial performer in a traveling circus. According to Coleman, on the 9/17/17 episode of Fear the Walking Dead, he stated that he went to high school. That must be Talking Dead. I'm sorry about the notes. He said he went to high school with Will Smith. Kalinda Vasquez, who is our writer for this evening, was born in New York City. As a television producer, she has worked on multiple TV series, including Nikita, Once Upon a Time, and Runaways. She has miscellaneous crew credits from the Cat in the Hat 2003 film and the TV shows Prison Break, Human Target, and Nikita. As a TV script writer, she has done episodes for Prison Break, Human Target, Nikita, and Once Upon a Time. And so trivia about tonight's episode, as has been happening in this back half of the season, I don't have stuff in advance other than it's the 49th episode of Fear the Walking Dead overall. So we usually, after the fact, have trivia for the last episode. And I'm doing something a little different tonight. It probably would have been nice if I'd done it earlier, but I didn't think of it. When they're introducing new characters that appear to be sticking around for a bit, I've started doing profiles. So this section will be a little bit longer because I'm going to start with that tonight. So last episode trivia for episode 11 was the first appearance of Wendell, first appearance of Sarah, Jim Brower, B-R-A-U-E-R, and first appearance of a character currently called Filthy Woman. I anticipate she's going to have a name later in the show, and when it comes up, they'll start addressing her that way. But it says, the Filthy Woman is an antagonist and a survivor of the outbreak in Fear the Walking Dead. She serves as the primary antagonist of the second half of season 4. It is the first appearance of Purvis, who is the walker that she had in her little office that she was drawing on. The title of this episode refers to the code that Wendell and Sarah falsely claim to live by, helping people when they need help and then moving on to the next person in need. Okay, so Wendell is played by Daryl, and his nickname is Chill Mitchell. Mitchell was born July 16, 65 in the Bronx to a secretary mother and a bus driver father. He grew up in Wyandanch, New York, a hamlet inside the town of Avalon, Suffolk County, Long Island. After a career in hip-hop in the 1980s with group B Chill, Mitchell had considerable success as an actor, appearing in House Party and its sequel, Sergeant Bilko. Sergeant Bilko, Galaxy Quest, 10 Things I Hate About You, and the TV sitcoms The John Larroquette Show and Veronica's Closet. He has also made appearances in the sitcom Becker, and in The Game and Desperate Housewives. In 2009, he co-starred in the short-lived sitcom Brothers. Since 2014, he has guest starred in NCIS New Orleans as recurring character Patton Plame, a computer specialist. In September 2009, Mitchell was profiled on TV One's biographical documentary program Life After, a series that examines the lives of celebrities following a career turning point. The actor playing Wendell is also wheelchair-bound in real life, as we were discussing last week. Back in November 2001, Mitchell was paralyzed from the waist down in a motorcycle accident in South Carolina. He later started the Daryl Mitchell Foundation to raise awareness of spinal cord injuries and serves as the minority outreach spokesman for the Christopher Reeve Foundation. He has also become a strong advocate for employing actors with disabilities. Today, Mitchell resides in Sugar Hill, Georgia, with his wife and three children. His two sons play football for North Gwinnett High School, while his daughter also cheers for North Gwinnett High. Mitchell won an NAACP Image Award on February 26, 2010. This is his first work with the Walking Dead franchise. I'm going to take a peek in the chat room, and Joan is here. So let's take a minute and say thank you and hello. Very glad you're here. Let's check and see how I'm doing. Can you hear me? I had an audio test earlier, so I know that I am projecting, but sometimes we've had a little bit of issues with flash and these sorts of things. So let me go back to the profiles for the new characters. The next one, Sarah, is played by actress and comedian Mo Collins. Maureen Ann Mo Collins was born July 7, 1965, very close to Daryl's birthday above, in Minneapolis. She attended Dudley Riggs' Brave New Workshop, honing her improvisation and sketchwriting skills. After many theater productions, dozens of commercials, and two films, she moved to L.A. Within a year, she landed her big break on Mad TV in 95 at the beginning of season 4. Mad TV came on in 95, at the beginning of season 4 in 98 for her, and stayed until the end of season 9, which was spring of 2004. Her best-known role following her departure from Mad TV was as morning talk show host Joan Calamezzo on the sitcom Parks and Recreation. Collins is in remission from a rare form of cancer known as gastrointestinal stromal tumor, or GIST. She was diagnosed in spring of 2011. We, of course, hope that, you know, that she's going to be pulling through it, since she's obviously continued with her acting career since then. She has almost 100 acting credits alone, stretching back to 1996, including RoboMom on Invader Zim, Starla on Arrested Development, several voices on various characters of King of the Hill and Family Guy, and many more roles. This will be her first work with the Walking Dead franchise. Next character, Jim Brower, the beer maker guy, is played by actor Aaron Stanford. Stanford was born on December 27, 1976, in Westford, Massachusetts, the son of Judith Nidupraa, D-U-P-R-A-A-S, an English professor, and Don Stanford, who works in publishing. His brother David is a musician. Stanford attended Westford Academy in Westford, Massachusetts for high school and met his first acting teacher there. He initially attended SUNY Purchase for college, but transferred to Rutgers University, Mason Grove School of Arts. He graduated in 2000, magna cum laude, and Stanford's first major film role was in the low-budget indie film Tadpole, in which he portrays Oscar Grubman, a precocious 15-year-old with a crush on a stepmother played by Sigourney Weaver. Stanford also starred as Anthony LaPaglia's son in the 2004 film Winter Solstice. Director Bryan Singer was impressed with Stanford's role in Tadpole and cast him as Pyro in the 2003 blockbuster X2, the sequel to X-Men. Both movies are based on the Marvel Comics series X-Men. His character from the film The Hills Have Eyes appears in the 2012 video game Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Zombies Mode. Stanford played the lead role of James Cole in the television adaptation of the movie 12 Monkeys, which premiered January 2015 on Sci-Fi. A graduate of Rutgers University, Aaron resides in Los Angeles when not on location. This is his first work with the Walking Dead franchise. And I think Joan is still having audio problems, but unfortunately I'm not able to help with that. So hopefully that'll get itself sorted out. And so the last new character that appears to be staying for a while, the Filthy Woman, at least for now, is played by Tanya Pinkins. Tanya Latricia Pinkins was born May 30, 1962, in Chicago. She attended Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh, where she studied theater, music, and dance. Leaving school, she moved to New York after landing a role in Stephen Sondheim's Merrily We Roll Along, then went on to appear in An Ounce of Prevention, Just Say No, Caucasian Chalk Circle, and Little Shop of Horrors on the New York stage. Pinkins' portrayal of Sweet Anita in the Broadway musical Jelly's Last Jam earned her a Tony Award, a Drama Desk Award, and the Clarence Duren Award. Pinkins, who is divorced, is a mother of four children. According to her IMDb bio, her nickname is Onyx Pimento Llama, O-N-I-X-Y-A-P-I-M-A-N-T-O-L-A-M-A. And I was completely and utterly unable to find out what the hell that means. She has over 55 TV and movie acting credits to her name back to 1980, including Heather Dalton on the CBS soap As the World Turns from 1986. Alama Matobo on Day 7 of 24, meaning the series 24, from 2008 to 2009. Livia Fry Cudahy on soap All My Children from 1991 to 2009. Mia Mimi Corcoran in 11-22-63, the miniseries based on the Stephen King book of the same name, Dr. Strange's sidekick Ethel Peabody on Gotham, and more. This is her first work in the Walking Dead franchise. Checking in with Joan. It's you. Sorry, Mark tested me. And, you know, I like to try to make sure that when people are coming to the chat room that they can hear what's going on, if it's in my power to fix it. And last but not least, we do not yet have accredited the name for the actor who plays Purvis yet. We suspect he may be a particular MIA trucker, and that's why he is for now uncredited. More on that when we find out. And, you know, we probably wouldn't have been told that ahead of time because it would have been considered a spoiler. There are no goofs, errors, bloopers from episode 11 listed. So, cast birthdays this week. It is 8:50. We've got 10 minutes left, so I'll do what I can. So, birthdays for this coming week. Today is Austin Abrams, who played Ron, Jesse's son, in Alexandria, and his birthday's today. He's born in Sarasota, Florida. Christine Elizabeth Woods, who was Dawn, the cop in Atlanta, her birthday's tomorrow, and she was born in Lake Forest, California. And Chad Coleman, who played Tyrese, was born on September 6th, so later this week, and he is from Richmond, Virginia. So let's give them some applause and happy birthday wishes. Thank you guys for all your hard work on both shows. And don't forget to join us again next Sunday for the next episode. The remaining episodes this season are episode 13, which is called Blackjack, and that's on September 9th. Episode 14 is MM54, which we think is Mom Worker 54. That's on September 16th. By the way, another guest director, Lou Diamond Phillips. And then 15 is I Lose People, and that's on September 23rd. By the way, has the same writer as tonight. Kalinda Vasquez will also be writing that one. And then 16, the season finale, is I Lose Myself, which is on September 30th. And then remember to watch for The Walking Dead Classic to open Season 9 the following Sunday, October 7th. There was no featured music listed for Episode 11 from last week, so I don't have any of that to share with you guys. And it's 8:52, so I think we have time to squeeze in at least an article or two before we go dark. So this is from a source I have not used before. It's called Bustle.com, and the article is called Who's Morgan Talking To on Fear the Walking Dead? The woman on the other end of the radio seems dangerous. And this was written by Leah Thomas, and it was published 7 days ago. Spoilers ahead for the Code episode of Fear the Walking Dead, which was last week's episode. No good deed goes unpunished, especially on Fear the Walking Dead in the midst of a zombie apocalypse. Morgan's attempt to be good and bring good people together is going to backfire by the time season 4 ends. Who's listening to the radio on Fear the Walking Dead? Morgan is aiding the new villain without realizing it. During the storm, Morgan takes refuge in the back of a truck filled with boxes of emergency supplies and wakes up in Mississippi. Abandoned again, he wanders into a truck stop and hears someone calling on a radio. "That you, Polar Bear?" asks this mysterious woman when Morgan encounters her transmission. After he answers, she seems surprised to discover that Morgan is in Mississippi. "Make yourself at home. You know what we say, take what you need, leave what you don't." At the end of the episode, the woman on the other end of those radio conversations appears. Played by Tony Award-winning actor Tonya Pinkins, this mysterious woman has hair in her face, a sinister laugh, and talks to a pinned-up walker she has named Purvis, telling him that it looks like we're going to Texas. Creepy. She also writes this group's slogan, "Take what you need and leave what you don't," on Purvis's face. Very chill. Very normal apocalyptic behavior. Very not evil. She has a map, like the one Morgan found in the Mississippi truck stop, with roads marked off on it. There was also an Amber Mill beer sign in her office, and there was in the truck stop, too. Is Jimbo the quirky brewery man playing coy? His place was called Augie's Ale, but is he connected to this villain? He couldn't have gone on and on about beer in this episode for no reason. Was he really kidnapped for beer recipes? Could be a long shot. Earlier in the season, when the show returned from hiatus, Althea found one of the supply boxes marked with the slogan while she was recovering with June and John. The trucker twins Morgan encounters are not really part of this mission at all. All they know is that boxes get dropped off at mile markers that end in the number 4. Until the woman at the other end of the radio appeared, this seemed like an altruistic operation, which, as Morgan notes, is exceedingly rare for this world. In the trailer for Fear of the Walking Dead Season 4B that debuted at San Diego Comic-Con, this character's voice loomed in voiceover. "I know who you really are," she said. "I know what you're really capable of, and I see it. It's still in there." Later in a trailer shot that shows her face-to-face with Morgan, she says, "It's tough out here. You should be careful." Maybe she uses her supply boxes as breadcrumbs to lure prey. Has she been watching them? Could this woman even be connected to The Walking Dead? There are mysterious radio stations in Virginia as well. Also, what happened to Polar Bear? The Trucker twins claim to have left him by the side of the road in Texas. Surely he'll show up later as well. That's an interesting point. If she's on the radio asking about Polar Bear, that's the mysterious trucker. So that wouldn't be Purvis then, because she would have known that. But finishing up, the scariest thing about this new villain is that she's already several steps ahead of our heroes, and they haven't got a clue what's coming. We're checking the chat room, and Joan now has sound. So let's give her some sound to say yay for that. And while we're doing that, I'm going to grab this one article and move it down so that we don't repeat. We do have some others to read to you guys tonight, but I don't want to start on that because we are only less than 4 minutes out from going live for tonight's episode. So I'm just going to go ahead and set up the next one. I'll tell you about it, though. It's Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 11, Review the Code. It's about last week's episode, but it's one that we did not cover before the end of the show, so I figured we could talk about it. So I'll get that set up for you guys, and then that'll be sitting around. Also, just as an amusement, I'm actually not at home tonight. I'm away at an event, and I'm up at a hotel right outside my high school in Fairfax County. So this is kind of fun and interesting, although like a couple other times when I've done the show from the road, I discovered the hotel doesn't carry AMC, and so I've had to set up the TV show part on my computer. So I have to say, as much as I rag on Comcast and Xfinity and they aggravate me, I have to say God bless TV2Go, because that is making my show possible tonight. So that for which I am extremely happy. We have 2 minutes before we go live. Let me tab over real quick. And yeah, the end of the last episode is finishing up there. And there's mile marker 94. So that's interesting. Let me check the name of that episode that's coming up later on. Mile marker 54 is episode 14. So there's those fours again. Well, I guess we'll find out maybe tonight what the significance of that is. So we are just about to go. They've left another one at 2:14. Take what you need, leave what you don't. And there goes Wendell. And there's Jim, and he's going to leave him some beer because he's an altruist, sort of. So anyway, and that's at mile marker 134. It's weird. The mile markers are a little bit out of order, unless these are just different highways or something. I'm not really clear how all that works. But at any rate, trying to keep an eye on stuff. We are just about ready to go, so I really don't want to get involved too much in anything. I could kind of read you the intro of the article that I'll get to when we come back. It's from denofgeek.com, and it's basically a review of last week, but they have a few new things to say and some speculation, so I will get to that when we get back for the next episode. And here she goes, drawing on Purvis, and I don't understand the purpose of this, because a walker is not something you need to take or leave. It's a walker is something you should walk away from. So this is kind of bizarre and perverse what she's doing. But, yeah, take what you need, leave what you don't. And he's screaming at her like he knows her. But given the fact that she's right there and kind of teasing him, it's fun to watch her face expressions. So here we go. Okay, they are doing the intro, the episode tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and go dark, and I'll see you guys at the first commercial break. Okay, guys, we are at the first commercial break, and it is 9:06. So let's go ahead and get scores up. It's just Joan and I tonight. Kelly, you're a mist, and Senko and all our other friends. I'm going to go 5.5 just for the moment. I don't anticipate really staying there. Joan is starting with a 6 again. I'm going to go back to a couple of our comments. Let's see here. So... Joan had said that she loves Tonya Pinkins a lot, playing a villain or not. Apparently, she's already known about Tonya. I have just learned about the magic of Tonya. I find it very interesting that she is a theater person as well as Coleman Domingo. That's kind of an interesting little twist on this show. There are several people who have, like, musicals and Broadway experience, that sort of thing. I think that's kind of neat. I had said, you know, I never knew of her till now. But she's fabulous. I love to watch her expressions. And Joan said she's more theater than film, but yes, agreed on the fabulous. And then I was talking about the plot. How has Al kept the goddamn camera charged up for so long? And Joan says, I know, I was wondering the same thing. Is she using some converter on the SWAT vehicle or something? And I said, probably. And then in the next scene, as if we knew, but we didn't, they mention, Al says, no diesel. And apparently no truck stop by nearby either, so this is how they would lose the vehicle. And she was wondering, starting with the 6 again. As Jonas mentioned, there's a thing in the trailer where apparently Al at some point loses control of the SWAT vehicle, so this may have something to do with it. Joan has said, thought about going lower, but 6 seems to be my standard lately. And so she's just going to stay there with that. Right now we're just having a commercial for... I'm not sure. White Boy Rick, based on the true story in theaters, September 14th. And a Better Call Saul commercial real quick. I was going to look over and see if we had time to do the article. I wish I knew if these trailers and things were going to keep going for a minute, because I don't know whether it's safe to start on the article. If Better Call Saul wraps up, we'll see. It may go back to the show. Let us see what we're doing. We are back, so I will see you guys at break number 2. Okay, guys, it's 9:18, and we are just at commercial break number 2. Let's go ahead and do some scores. I'm actually being a little weird. I'm like lower than Joan, and now I'm going higher than Joan. Joan's at 6, and I'm going to 6.5. so let's go back to the comments, and Joan is giggling. Wow, look, check out the hood ornament they picked up, the walker in front. And now we have a new euphemism, skin muncher, which I – don't keep a formal track of, and I wish I did, was euphemism number 11 or so. I am still on a quest, Joan, if you happen to see, for somebody on a website somewhere who's keeping track of 101 euphemisms for the zombies or the walkers or what, pardon my hiccup, or whatever in the Walking Dead universe. Also, I noticed on the street sign, Houston, 76 miles to Mississippi. I don't know Texas geography that well, honestly, so I will probably have to go look at a map and figure that one out. And Morgan says they're at mile marker 27 on Route 365 going west from Mississippi to Houston, which is interesting because earlier they made a comment about how they're leaving the boxes at mile markers that end in 4. That was in one of the articles I read you guys, but this is mile marker 27 and they leave one. Also, I have no idea what a grisette is. I'm going to assume it's a drink based on context, and maybe that's something we can Google in the meantime. Joan is still voting as a 6. She was tempted to go higher for the Momo nickname, but she's holding that one off. I went 6.5 because this was a little interesting. Yes, and whoever just swiped the SWATmobile obviously had their hands on diesel fuel. So my bet is on... that it is possibly somebody connected to the Filthy Woman, or somebody who has access to supplies that's not anything to do with somebody we've seen yet. But, you know, we shall see. They're filling up a mattress. So I'm going to skip over to the article I was going to read you guys. Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 11, by David S. E. Zapanta, and was written on August 26th, and this is from denofgeek.com. As a general rule, any Morgan-centric episode is a good episode. This was true on The Walking Dead, and so far it's been true on Fear the Walking Dead. Such is Lenny James's appeal, and one of the main reasons it made so much sense that he wound up becoming the bridge between the two shows. So it's a little disappointing that The Code isn't a stronger episode, especially given that it's co-written by producer Andrew Chambliss. The more philosophical aspects of The Code work very well, ruminating on the importance of simple pleasures in a world that's gone to hell. I'm checking on the show to see if we're back, and we might be. Talking Dead tonight, Jenna Elfman, Lisa Edelstein, and Coleman Domingo will be on The Talking Dead tonight. Now we have a State Farm commercial, so we can finish this paragraph up. But it's when the episode, delving further into Morgan's delicate, complicated psyche, that the story stumbles a bit. What's more frustrating about The Code, though, is the notion that kindness and generosity are liabilities that all too often get good people killed. Well, you know, I hate to tell you, David, but in an apocalypse situation or anything eschatological like this, this is exactly the lesson to us how fragile our civilization, our kindness and generosity are. They are liabilities when you reduce us down to our primal selfish bastard selves. Back to the article. It's a Walking Dead trope that really needs to be retired from both shows. I do not agree. Retaining one's humanity shouldn't be an automatic death sentence, but I'm getting ahead of myself. David, I don't know if you're just not familiar with the genre and you're kind of missing the point here. Let me go on to the paragraph. I do enjoy when Fear takes a more philosophical approach to the apocalypse as The Code does. And Morgan is a great lens for reexamining what really matters in life. Like so many other survivors, Morgan has lost a lot. His wife, his child, his home, even his sanity. While his family is never coming back, he's found a new family of sorts, first with Rick in The Walking Dead, and then with John Dory and Alicia in Fear. This is an essential building block of any functioning society, this presence of community. It's through this sense of belonging that Morgan has managed to regain his sanity. I'll double check. We have a Blue Moon commercial, so I don't think... Oh, we are back now, so I will hush and see you guys at break number three. .929, and we're at break number three, so let's go ahead and get those scores up. And I'm going to 6.75. Jones crawling up behind me at 6.5. And so let's go over and grab our comments from between the last scores. Okay, Joan is up for the Walker euphemism hunt. So we're going to see if we can find a list, a master list of all the different nicknames they've had over the course of both shows. And Joan says, oh, crap, it's Dirt Woman, Filthy Woman. How'd she get there so fast? Well, where's her truck and pets? And she says, there's a title source for this show. You know, I don't need help. I'm not weak. And that's a very good question, Joan. And I don't think we answered that yet. And then Joan's like, oh, crap, she's infecting the water. And some connection with Al's illness. I had not been paying attention to from where Al was taking her fluids when she had them. Possibly the water bottles. I really don't know, but that's something we'll keep an eye out. Joan says, just a theory, but why else would she be putting that nasty water into the bottles and the boxes? Oh, I had not caught that she was. Okay, good point. Good catch. And so now we also have a guy who is a new player that we didn't see coming. And he was just at the commercial break, so we'll find out more about him when we get back. I am going to switch over real quick to my article and continue. So David says, I do enjoy when Fear takes a more philosophical approach. Oh, no, I already read that to you guys. Let me go down one. So it's interesting to see Morgan weigh one kind of stability against another. Whose people are his true people? Where does he belong? More importantly, who's most in need of saving? This is part of Morgan's DNA, helping others. After all, were it not for him, Rick Grimes wouldn't have survived very long. But a lot has changed since his relatively halcyon days from the zombie apocalypse. As supplies dwindle and patience runs dry, Humanity's surviving remnants have become embittered and desperate. For many, every man for himself rules the day. We saw this with the pirates in season two, with Brokejaw Ranch last season, and most recently with the vultures. That's why selfless characters like Morgan and especially John Dory are so refreshing in such a cynical world. Oh, David, bless your heart. But for every Morgan or John, there's a Wendell or a Sarah. Credits due to both Daryl Mitchell and Mo Collins for bringing likability to ultimately unlikable characters. Once we learned the truth about their altruism, or lack thereof, though, I immediately stopped caring about either of these malcontents. Oh, yeah, fine. The same goes for Jim, Aaron Stanford, a microbrewer and our first hipster of the post-apocalypse. He's instantly insufferable, chiding Morgan for being so slow to rescue him. Just checking over at the other thing. It's a commercial still. Okay, cool. Fear doubles down on this bad first impression by revealing Jim to be another would-be profiteer, a nascent capitalist who wants a chance to fill his coffers by crafting IPAs. This is crass consideration given the state of the world. He and Strand would get along just fine, a couple of grifters looking for the next mark. Although, in all fairness, I think Strand has had his moments of other things, you know, and maybe Jim will too in time. Who knows? History is built on beer, Jim insists, and perhaps there's some truth to this. If Morgan can value a fresh cup of coffee, who's to say that consuming a good microbrew couldn't give someone a real thirst to live, to quench one's daily needs for the basic bygone necessities? The Godfather Uncut trailer, so we may be going back in just a second. I'm going to wait and see. No, I better call Saul. Let me see if I can finish this up. Is a glass of beer as trivial as it initially seems when the world is so devoid of simple pleasures? And then now I'm going to go ahead and I'm expecting to go back, so I'm stalling for a minute. Yep, going back. See you at break number four. Okay, guys, it's 9:40, and we are at break number four, so let's go ahead and get some scores up. And let me undo the score lock. And Jones now at 675, Land. So, you know what? I'm going to stay there. I was tempted to go to 7. I'm not quite ready yet. So let's just hover there together for a hot minute. And Jones said earlier, it looks like she either lied about the meds, maybe. Guess Savannah's worth dying for in Al's view, dummy. Well, I don't know, though, because all the tapes are on there. You know, I know it seems in an apocalypse you need food and water and medicine and stuff. But the history may matter someday unless we all die and there's nobody left to give a shit. But I can kind of understand why she wants to preserve it, although, yes, you know, medicine is more important. But the van also, that is a really good piece of equipment to have in their kind of situation. I'm surprised they've kept it as running as long as they have, because those sorts of things need mechanics who understand them, and I don't really think Al is fit for that sort of stuff. I mean, she is a journalist, unless she was like a military journalist or something. I don't know. She never really said that I remember. But at any rate, that's where we are with the scores. Let me go back and finish off the article I was reading to you guys. So David says, I'm glad Fear is willing to ask such questions, and I'm certainly glad Lenny James rises to the challenge as he always, always does. I just wish these new characters were worthy of such heady considerations. I think it's a little unfair, David, because there's many characters that people like now that we really wanted to stab in the face in the beginning. By episode's end, we learn the fate of Purvis, the benevolent trucker who was leaving those roadside boxes of supplies. He's not just undead. Now, he goes and spoils this. We don't fucking know who Purvis is. You know, that is my theory, but then it didn't make sense with something you said earlier. He's not just undead, he's also being kept as some kind of pet, where still he's being mocked for his past good deeds. For all of the myriad inventive ways zombies are killed week after week, I thought the desecration of Purvis's corpse and his legacy was incredibly disturbing. I know it's the end of the world, but sometimes the nice guys deserve to finish first. No, they don't, David, shut up. Otherwise, what are Morgan, Alicia, and the rest fighting for? Why even bother to save a world that's incapable of such disrespect for the living and the dead? Rest in peace, Purvis, we hardly knew ye. Okay. That is David's opinion. I think he's being unreasonable compared to what is more logical in the genre, but we shall see. Let me double check and make sure we're not back yet. We do have what looks like a Jack Ryan trailer. So I don't know if that means we're going back. No, not quite yet, but soon. So that is that particular article, and I'm going to move that to the bottom, as I have been doing, instead of deleting them, because you had what I think were a couple of accidents earlier episodes where I read the same article a couple of times to you guys, and nobody caught it, but I am pretty sure that that happened to me at some point. So here's the next article I'm going to pull up. It is 9:43, so we might actually have time to get to it. We'll see. This one is called, it's from comicbook.com, Fear Was Loaded with the Walking Dead Universe Easter Eggs by Brandon Davis, August 28th. Let me see if we are back yet. Not quite yet. There's some things in the chat room. Not cool for Al to do that to June. Well, we have determined, we think, that June is her actual name, given the background story for Laura Naomi June. Last time she left someone to get meds, everyone died. Yep. I think we're on the same page regarding David's opinion. I disagree as well. Sorry, David. I know you're the person who got to write an article, but I like the new trucker characters, Joan says. Still undecided on Beer Guy, but not ready to write him off yet. I think Beer Guy has got to have some other backstory that makes it worthwhile, because otherwise this is just kind of dorky. We have a CarMax commercial with a wooden mountain lion, cougar, some creature that somebody carved, and we are back. So I'll see you guys at break number 5. We're at break number 5. Joan has already anticipated this coming. She is staying at 675, and I am as well. Let's go ahead and grab last couple of comments. We haven't made too many, but so Morgan goes up the tower. And I had just a weird theory, and this is a super stretch, I suppose, but what if Al had a tape proving that Eugene did actually know in D.C. how to get the cure, like, for whatever stupid reasons, because, you know, he's kind of off like that, that he'll just make shit up. But I've never been convinced that he didn't know some way to make this better. And what if he mentioned it on the tape? Because there is something, so-and-so and the doctor, and we think that may be Abraham and Eugene when they were first starting out. And Joan says, well, at least there's no walkers up there on the tower. And she says, ooh, that would be one heck of a twist with Eugene. Finally, group members showing some sense and trying to stick together, and she's still giving it a 6.5, as so am I. But we are at 9:52, so this is probably more than likely the last commercial break until the end of the episode, but we shall see. We're having a State Farm commercial right now on Chromebook, so we have time for an article. So here's Fear Was Loaded with the Walking Dead Universe Easter Eggs by Brandon Davis, August 28th. Fear the Walking Dead aired another strong episode on Sunday night, earning laughs and praise from fans and critics, but also loading a few references to The Walking Dead into its runtime. With Morgan Jones bent on returning to his Alexandria community to reunite with Rick Grimes and company, it's no surprise that the character who originated on the first AMC zombie show is surrounded by Easter eggs and references to it. Before we run through some of the important details and Easter eggs packed into Fear Walking Dead episode 411, spoilers follow. First one is the Commonwealth. In true Dead Universe fashion, Fear the Walking Dead 411 played with fan expectations a bit. With Morgan finding a radio and hearing from a woman, it seemed like the Commonwealth from Robert Kirkman's comics might be arriving. We really shouldn't make comic references, so whatever. The Walking Dead just introduced a woman who looked just like the community's leader. However, it doesn't seem Morgan's radio contact or any of the boxes offering to help folks will be any sort of connection to the 50,000-strong community. Instead, it seems to be an introduction to the new villain facing the back half of Fear the Walking Dead's fourth season. Allow me to point out that this Commonwealth analog that they were referring to took place up in Alexandria, and there's no way it's going to be going on in Texas or Mississippi. So that's a bunch of hoo-ha, or, you know, bullshit. Number 2, new villain. By the end of episode 411, it was clear that the woman who had found Morgan's starting point for the episode was not going to be friendly. Her demonic expressions while dealing with the undead seemed to emphasize that she is someone everyone should avoid. I don't want to say much about that mysterious woman, but I think it's apparent in that moment that she clearly has some sort of history and relationship with whoever it was who set up that truck stop, Fear showrunner Andrew Chambliss told EW, Entertainment Weekly. And the fact that in the final moments of the episode, she writes on that walker's face the key phrase that we've seen in the boxes the entire episode, take what you need, leave what you don't. I think we can see she's not too happy with the fact that Morgan is now carrying on that kind of legacy that's left behind. We will certainly see her again. She's going to become perhaps an unexpected antagonist to Morgan and the rest of the group. Let me check. We're still doing phone commercials. Oh, but we have a trailer for an AMC series. I don't know which one this is. It's awful messed up. I want to see which one it is, and probably we'll go back after that. So I'm going to stick with this for a second. Lodge 49. Oh, somebody, a friend of mine had described this as the Big Lebowski merged with Masons, kind of. Fear the Walking Dead, AMC premiere. Also, I haven't seen the Walking Dead, what you call it? I'm losing my operative nouns. The code for this week. You know, they usually have a word that's a code. And we are back. So I'm going dark. See you guys at break number six or the end, I think. Okay, guys, it is 10:04, and I'm actually going to keep this short because The Talking Dead actually gets to follow Fear the Walking Dead tonight. Thank God, as Chris is mentioning at the moment. So I'm going to let you guys go. I'm ending on a 7. Joan's ending on a 7. And Tonya Pinkins, we love you and your work. Your character's a douchebag. We get it now. And bye, Quinn. Although Quinn may be around, just kind of like Purvis was. But anyway, I'm going to keep this article and reread it next week for you guys. And don't forget, it will be episode 13, Blackjack. And that's September 9th. So we will see you guys next week. And thank you for joining us.